Hello, dear ones. This is Deamira Rose D'Agostino with Elemental Whispers Podcast. I am excited to share with you a conversation I had with Sid Dudgeon. Although we had never met, Sid and I discovered we had so much in common, not the least of which is our co-creative experience with the She. And also, both of us have a connection to New Avalon. We talk about our experiences with New Avalon, and we were both surprised to discover how our work has seemingly dovetailed over the last few years, as if we were two sisters having never met, but still weaving with these realms in our own ways and working toward the same purpose. I have to admit that when you meet someone that is working in similar ways as you are, there is a kinship that is felt and also a sense of relief that reminds you that even though this road that is less traveled can be quite lonely, we are not actually alone. So meeting Sid and having this conversation was such a joy. I loved hearing all about her work with the She over the last 3 years, her journey, how it all came about. And while our background of studies differs, both Sid and I have a really strong affinity for the heart as a foundation for spiritual work and co-creative partnership with spirits and other beings of Gaia. During our conversation, you're going to hear Sid discuss David Spangler and how his work catalyzed her own connection with the She. She mentions David Spangler's card deck of the She, which he co-created with Jeremy Berg of the Lorien Association, as well as his She contact, Mariel. I will link to all of those in the show notes. I'll also link to the episode I did on Avalon Past, Present, and Future so that you can have a little more context on this subject if it is of interest to you. And just in case you are not familiar with David Spangler, I'll link to an episode that we did together when he was a guest on Elemental Whispers, which I know you will love. Sid also brings up a really fascinating distinction between the Star She and the Land She, which is a distinction I'm familiar with, and yet we did not really have time to unpack this as I would have loved to, and be able to discuss both the similarities and differences in how she and I experience the many different bandwidths, even within the race of the She. And lastly, I want to let you know that we dive right into our conversation, so much so that if you don't listen to her full bio, you may not grasp some of what she's alluding to in the conversation, and I don't want you to miss a thing. So I know sometimes we fast forward through bios on podcasts, but I highly encourage you to listen to her bio, let her story wash over you, because within that is context that is going to help you ground into our conversation and prepare you for all the different subjects that we touch on. Sid Dudgeon is a lifelong student and meditant of deep works of esotericism, primarily Rudolf Steiner's Anthroposophy. She was a licensed occupational therapist in home health and hospice for 15 years and a certified music thanatologist, offering harp and voice at the bedside of the dying for 20 years. In 2020, Sid was introduced to the She through David Spangler's Conversation with the She and the card deck of the She. Sid immediately resonated with the She, and her subtle perception blossomed in their presence. Sid Dudgeon has been communicating consciously with her She partner, Michael, for 3 years.
In 2021, Michael communicated that many Shi are arriving to work closely with human beings. And on September 28, 2021, the initial 101 Shi friends stepped closer to our world to collaborate with people. The Shi, who are very wise and highly innovative, decided to draw close to human beings and become more visible in response to comments indicating hardly anyone will sense the Shi. The co-creative possibilities with the Shi are emerging, and they are limitless. Sid and her colleagues help to build communication and relationships with the Shi and offer meditations and energy work in service to Gaia. Come and learn about this highly innovative endeavor initiated by the Shi and help to bring New Avalon out of the mists once again. So that, my friends, is our official introduction, and we want to offer the warmest and most heartfelt welcome to our beautiful guest, Sid Dudgeon. Welcome, Sid, to the podcast.
Thank you, Dumira. So glad to be here. And I'm telling you, there are lots of Shi friends all around us here today, with much joy to be here with you. Yes.
There was so much in that bio that I just read. And I know some people, even though the listeners to Elemental Whispers are, I would say, quite a bit primed for this kind of conversation about beautiful otherworldly spirit contacts and connection and how we can co-creatively partner with them, I do want to unpack so much that was stated there in that bio. And normally I would begin with your journey, but I was giving a lot of thought to this. And I think that where I would like to begin, if it's okay with you, is I would love to start where we are now, presently, and hear about this body of work that you are co-creating. Let's hear all about it and how it came about.
Very happy to do that today. This has been a great adventure, and it is a great adventure for anyone who has the opportunity to come close to the Shi. And many of us do have a connection to the Shi. Now, I'll say first, let's say about my journey, and then I'll bring in some things, because I think it's important to say how people can experience Shi very differently. Because, dear Mayor, there are all different Shi who have incarnated into matter differently. Some have incarnated into matter, as Michael says, like into their ankles, like ankles up to their shins, like the star Shi, the global Shi, the Shi that we work with, the Shi Mariel who came to David Spangler. And so these Shi energetically have a very high frequency. And so they're very different in communicating with them than somewhat beings that are much more incarnated in to Gaian realms, like we are. I mean, we're very much incarnated into Gaia. Our beautiful bodies are made of all of the elements of Gaia. And the Shi are just so appreciative of our beautiful golden light within our bodies, of spirit and soul streaming through matter into the elements of Gaia. And when they come to us and they blend with us, they feel this. They feel this love in matter, and we have the capacity to feel their silvery starlit love that is connected to all realms. Because the reason that they're only up to their ankles is because they did not want to lose connection with the celestial realms. They didn't want to lose that connection. They wanted to stay in connection with Gaia, with the angelic realms, and with the starry realms, so that they could bring those energies into Gaia at the appropriate time. And the appropriate time is now. And I'm sure you know this because I'm talking to people and I'm loving to hear all of the innovative ways that people are hearing their own call in great diversity. And this is mine, because what is happening here, I have not heard of anybody else doing what we are doing. And it didn't come from me. And I want to make that really clear. It came from the she. They are the ones who decided we need to find a way to reach people and them know that we are really with them and we're not going to leave them. Because they'll tell me, yeah, they just say, well, my life is so boring. They don't really want to be me. Like, no, we want to be with you more than anything. We want to co-create with you. And we also want to bring these energies that Gaia is asking for her ascension and for your ascension and all of the human beings who are ready for this ascension. So these are the star sheep. But then there are also people who say, well, oh yeah, because I sense that there are she on my land. I sense that there are she on my land. And we have in our, you know, work, you know, with Michael and I, we have come across many groups of land she in the area and wooded areas. And when we were living in the desert, all parts of those areas, there would be this sense of this lovely energy there. And they'd become maybe a little bit shy, but they definitely had a different feeling of a little bit more density because they are connected and they're guardians of the land regions. And then there are also ones who have gone more deeply into matter to help with the Gaian realms and the evolutions of the fairies and the gnomes, because they're all on their own individualized journeys of becoming. And some she have helped or helping with that. So some people say, well, I had this she, but they don't sound like the ones that you're working with. And that very well may be true because you're encountering different types of she. So that's important to know. So with my journey is when I heard about the she, I don't even know why, Damir. I ordered the cards too. I ordered the cards and I ordered the book. And when the cards came, this is the card that I could see. You can't see it, but I'll explain it. It's a how. It is an entrance to a mound of the she. And on this card, there is this doorway that has stars inside and then the mound and stars above. And when I saw this, I was drawn right in. Boom! I was like, oh my gosh. And I turned it over. I said, I don't even know you. What am I doing? And so as I started on this journey, I started to read David Spangler's book, Conversations with the She. And I knew them. I knew that I knew them right away. It touched my heart so deeply. And I did exactly what David Spangler said to do. I went to the altar of consciousness. It's another card. And I go down these steps and there's this little altar there and it's all stone area. And I go and sit on the stone. And then pretty soon they put a purple panel there and more comfortable. And I would appreciate them. That's what he said to do. I did it every day. And I was faithful. And at the time I pulled a couple cards every day. And pretty soon, and I have to say, I was faithful to this. If you really want to have contact with the she, you can't do it once or twice a month and think, well, I tried. It's but no, because they're a different frequency. They're a very high frequency. And we're going to talk about this. Michael really wants to talk about, when we talk about our journey together, to talk about all the different ways he tried to communicate with me because he was trying to figure out how I might best hear him. So I started to sense that there was a presence around me, but just like everybody else, thinking, well, because I know I'm working with, that might be my imagination. And through this time, I've told this story before. I decided to make this hut up in the mountains. I made this hut and I thought, okay, this is going to be a place where we meet. And this is when I was living in Linden, Washington. So up by Mount Baker, this hut that had this nice picture window looking out towards Birch Bay. And I thought, okay, how can I make this habitable? So a place for the she and I to meet. So I thought, well, I think they're colorful. So we'll have a purple chair, two crimson chairs on the side. And I'm looking at them thinking, should we put some gold piping? And this little boy said, how about silver? I think, who said that? Because I wasn't thinking that. I don't think that silver matches crimson. And he said, why don't you braid them together? We'll just braid them together, silver and gold. Let's just braid them together. And then all of a sudden, everything started braiding. Silver and gold all over everything. Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we can take these candlesticks and we'll make the candlestick holder silver and then the holder on the top of the candle gold. How about that? And he said, Lauren, we'll put silver and golden leaves all the way around. And then we turn them to face you and they look like flowers. He's the guy doing that. And I'm thinking, no, wait a minute. I would not have thought of that. I would have not have thought to do that. And so then he's just working magic all around. Like, well, we have to have a white Afghan here. And it has to have silver threads all the way through. And then a white rug on the floor. And I said, that would get dirty. And he said, not in our imaginations. Because I was saying, oh, this will get dirty in the mountain. So that was my first real conversation with Michael. And even though I could think, am I making this up? Am I making this up? But I know I wouldn't have thought of that. I knew I wouldn't have thought. So he was helping me design the place that we were going to meet. He was right there. And here is the synchronicity part. There's really two of them that came. One of them is that night I was reading Soren Haga's book on elephant hunting. And in there, his she partner, Feldner, says, well, the she are connectors. We love to braid and link. We love to braid and link. The whole set of to just braid these together and link them all over their roofs. And there it was right there. The end of the day, the synchronicity that they love to bring to you. That I would be reading this and there it would be that it was him. He's a connector and he loves to braid and link. And then the other thing was learning increasingly about what is the silver and the gold. What is the silver and the gold? The silver is them. The silver, they are starlit beings, silvery starlit beings who are connected to the starry realms. And they bring the silver and we bring the gold of the treasure of love. Streaming in matter is golden, and it is a rich treasure we bring to the sheep. So they bring us connection back to ourselves and our own I being, and connection to starry realms. And we bring them the gold of this incredible individuation that we have developed in separation. And love streaming in. And together, for square magic, the reunion of these two positive streams of evolution, of humanity, of cosmic humanity, now come back together. Whoosh. And it is magical what we bring to each other. So this is one of the things I really want to tell people is that it's like I sense he's bringing the other half of me, or he's awakening the other half of me. And I'm kind of awakening the other half of him because he says, we're still all in oneness. We have each developed our individuation to the extent that we can, being in oneness, but also stepping out and doing our own individuation. When we blend with you, when I blend with you, Michael says, feel myself so strongly. I feel my own individuation. And it strengthens him. And I said, well, does it make you more dense, though? I don't want to drag you, you know, down into matter because you need to stay starry. So no, it doesn't do that. It just helps me feel my individualization stronger. So we bring each other very special gifts. And I'm saying this because many people say to me, I just don't know what I'm bringing because I'm kind of a messed up human and I get angry and I do this. And the she are so patient and they just send their pure love. But Michael says, we've been waiting to do this so long. And we've stayed in these realms so we can bring you these gifts for you to heal all of your bodies and unfold your dormant senses all around that we have and that you have also, and open the hearts. Open the heart space to pure unconditional love. So that was quite a revelation for him explaining how important it was for us to begin to blend and me be able to unfold my entire being, my entire, as he said, huge starry being, way beyond the confines of your physical body. You all are huge shining stars on the earth. He'd always say this. You're all huge shining stars. You're big shining stars.
When he came to me in fullness was on October 10th, 2020. Yeah, 2020. And I was playing my harp. I was playing my harp, and I had just enrolled in Ruhas and Freya's Practical Magic. Imagine, I took my first class in Practical Magic, and afterwards I was playing the harp, thinking about what would I do for my project. And I could almost feel the energy coming, Demir, from across the room. And it came right through the neck of the harp, which is the top of the harp. And it's got the two long pillar in the back and the sound box. And he came right through the neck into my heart and said, come dance with me. And we will weave our songs together in joyous harmony. And I got this huge download of all these possibilities that I could not even integrate of the possibilities. I was experiencing is all these possibilities of the future for us. So we began by creating music because that was going to be our project. And I was scared to say, I said, but I have never worked with a being before. I've never done this before. I mean, I worked at the bedside of the dying, and I could feel when people were leaving their bodies. And I could feel it energetically really strongly, and their etheric body gets very large, as big as the hospital, and they're moving away. I could feel that. But how was I going to communicate with him as we were just really beginning? And of course, he's never worried about anything. He's always positive. And so he started by doing something that I'd learned from anthroposophy. Be very quiet as you're going to sleep and as you're waking up. And when you're going to sleep, something might come through as a message because you're right between worlds as you're going to sleep. And you're right between worlds as you're waking up. And that's what he told me to listen for. And so the next morning, I heard I heard him, and this Nepali came. I thought, oh my gosh, this is him. And I thought I would remember it. It was so distinct. But I lost it. I lost it. So I got on the harp and I kept trying to recreate it, and I created a different melody, a different melody. And then that night I said, please send it again. Please send it again. And in the morning, he sent it again. And this time, I immediately went and recorded it on my phone so I wouldn't forget it. And he said, but this is good because what I gave you is the chi melody. And because you, in your unconscious, remembered it, you created a counter melody that's the human melody. And so there we were, beginning to do this dance together. So that was one way to communicate. I was never afraid of him coming to the heart. And I know that some people might be afraid of that because of old wounds. But the Shi are pure love. And their favorite way of communicating is through blending. Their favorite way is to come and blend with your being, with your heart. And that way it's an energetic blending of your fields. And then they can communicate through the heart space, and these messages go because they communicate from the heart.
So firstly, I just want to acknowledge, did you say the date that you were sitting at the harp was October 10th?
October 10th, 2020. Yeah.
That's my birthday, October 10th.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So I just wanted to insert in there.
Okay, there's a connection here. Guess what that is? That's a synchronicity.
Yes, exactly.
So you know what? I'm getting chills because he's saying this. Like, this was meant to happen. He said, this was one of the downloads you got. You were meant to be here with Diamira. Whoa. Wow, Michael. That's pretty cool.
The other fun little just tidbit that probably nobody that listens to this knows is that I secretly play the harp. And I say secretly because up until I was about 38, I'm now 41, I had never played a musical instrument in my life and had no musical understanding whatsoever. I don't read music. And I always had a connection to the harp. And so that's when I just started playing. I'm not a practiced harp player. I just enjoy myself with the harp. And what started to happen is that I received communications with the otherworldly forces. That's just been a very natural thing for me as part of my body of work for a very, 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 very long time. But they did not happen in musical form because I did not consider myself a musical creature. But several years ago, they started coming in musically. And so the songs and words of songs, and I would be out in the forest and the songs and tunes, a tune of the river or a tune of a she that rises from a particular part of the earth or rises from this particular portal. And they all have, it's almost as if their own specific song begins to come through. And as I begin to hum it, there's a beautiful communion that opens in a really fun and heart expanding way. I just wanted to share that little synchronicity, that fun musical connection and birthday. So let me ask a couple of clarifying questions, just keeping in mind our listeners and also some questions that I have that I would love to hear your thoughts on. I feel like most people already know when we say she, who we are talking about. We are talking about the word S-I-D-H-E, right? And this is a Gaelic word and is the word that we, many of us, have begun to use, some of us interchangeably for the fairy races, but those are different from the little people. These are, again, the shining ones. And yes. And so I just wanted to off drop in that context. I'm pretty sure everybody's there at that baseline, but I wanted to make sure. The other thing I wanted to ask you mentioned blending, and I could not agree more that there's this invitation for blending. But for me, there's a distinction, and I want to check in and see if you have the same distinction. In some spiritual circles, there is a practice or a tradition of, for example, transmediumship, where we leave our bodies, we let a spirit come in and begin to speak through us. And in my experience, that has not been the invitation from the she, nor would I personally be comfortable with that particular interaction myself. I don't let beings inhabit my body. It's a blending of soul consciousness where we allow like our energy fields to come together and then see what arises from that beautiful co-shared heart field. It's almost like a birth portal that opens up as we blend our hearts and blend our energy fields. But I'd love to hear from you. Do you make that distinction? How is it for you?
You said it better than I could have, Diamira, just what you said. It is a blending of energy fields, and no, everything that they do never requires us to leave, nor would I do that either. Because everything that they are doing is really helping us to become more us in our bodies. When I'm saying about being expanded, I'm not leaving my body in any way. My body is going through a metamorphosis. It is, yes, going through a metamorphosis with him. And it's because all of those different faculties were already there. They're just now unfolding. So no, it's not leaving. And you know, some people may be more comfortable with telepathy, or like David would call it telepathy, because it has some feeling with it. And of the she that we work with, they can do that. They can do it. It's not generally preferred because they don't use language. They use symbols and glyphs, but they know how to do it now just because they've been working with all of us and all these humans that they've been getting connected with now. And they're able to do it. But, So they can do that telepathically, but you have to be able to quiet yourself. I just want to make sure that we get to this, because the number one thing for being able to communicate with them is inner stillness, going into the blessed stillness. And it's that high frequency, and you need to quiet your mind. I have some people say, well, I will never get rid of the racing mind. Well, that's going to make it challenging, because I tell this story of, if I'm a little bit upset in my heart or my mind is going, like he gave me this image that he's riding on a 40-foot wave on a surfboard, going, oh, in his robes, going, I can't reach you because of the astral waves you're creating. And I'm an etheric being. I'm a wispy etheric being. And I can't reach you if you have these racing thoughts and you have any kind of upset feeling, even inner tension. Now, it's really good that you brought that up, because very often she say, I have come close and I've brought my feeling and they felt like this swell of feeling, which they thought was their own, but it was really our combined feeling. So this is a really another good point for people who are first with the she. If you feel like there's this tender feeling and it kind of swells a little bit, it is your she friend. Your she friend is there communicating with you. And that's what's called heart empathic, just sharing feeling, which a lot of times is the first thing people could do, is do heart empathic feeling. Or as Michael's pointing out to me, they just send messages through the clouds, through rainbows, and through the wind. And you may just have, or just like through the wind, you might just feel a brush. Well, the first time I felt them was on the top of the head. And that's not unusual around the crown. So those might be the first signs. And it's just a doorway. It's a doorway for them to be able to communicate more with us. And so those are the main three ways, the doing the blending of the energetic fields, as you described so well, the telepathy or telepathy, and then heart empathic. But truly, the most important is to learn inner silence. And they take us into the, we do journeys with our groups and take them into deep meditations. And then we can create this wonderful human she energetic field. And we take them into this quietude, into the nothingness where everything exists and where all the creative potential lies. And they say it's the most healing space we can go to, because really all around you is the pure love of creative potential in the quietude and darkness. And that's huge. And that's something that now we're really talking to people about doing. Because, well, some people will say, well, I'm always talking to them. I'm always talking. So, well, stop talking, because that's actually not their preferred way of communication. And just listen, and just listen and quiet your whole being and listen through the heart space.
There's two points that you've made that I really, really want to highlight. The first one is something you said way back, which was about that devotional ritual of consistency and showing up. And what I heard you say is you created this space, and I understood the hut to be, there was actually a physical space you created, not on the inner planes. Is that correct?
It was on the inner. No, it was on the inner.
It was on the inner planes. Okay, glad I asked that.
I'm so glad you asked that. I'm sorry I didn't make that clear. No, this was all in the inner that he met me.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. So this was a space on the inner planes. Mm-hmm. And so, but you daily showed up. And how long did you do it daily? Like each time, was it 10 minutes? Was it an hour?
And it would vary kind of like that. It would maybe be 10 minutes to 30 minutes, but then sometimes things would begin to happen and I'd just go into this really, really quiet space, and maybe it would be 45 minutes or so. But I did do it daily and I still do. And I have the stone circle laid out, the stone circle of the she, which is on the back of the manual for the card deck of the she. And it is a portal to them. And it says so in that book. And Michael says, actually, every one of the cards is a portal to them.
And I will I will definitely link to that card deck that David Spangler, and I think he created that with Jeremy Berg, right? Jeremy did the artistry, the illustrations. So they created that card deck together with Mariel, their She contact, and I will link to that so everybody can see what Sid is talking about. But this is a huge point, is consistency is so key. And it to me, it's not that we have to show up for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours every day. I mean, in our modern lives, we don't have that. But even if it's 10, 15, 20 minutes, it's more important to do it daily at smaller times, I think, than to do it just once a week for this long chunk of time. You're building a muscle and you're also showing your commitment. You're showing, and through that commitment, you're creating and building a trust and also, I think, a pathway. And so I just really wanted to highlight, and I cannot overstate this.
because that's what I learned too from Anthroposophy. And this is what happens. You create a container and everybody knows you're going to be there. And everybody shows up. And the more they showed up, the bigger the light that's streaming to the heavens. And then the more beings that want to come, especially as they're seeing this union of she and human, two different streams of cosmic humanity coming together. And that is an exciting thing to watch. They're actually really trying to communicate with each other now. Okay, well, let's tune in. And then you have a stronger energetic field to help in your communication by doing it consistently. So that it all helps to bring to birth what's happening. But I really want to get to a couple things. And one is about what's emerging now. We have been co-creating since 2020. And in 2021, Michael came after we went to Jeremy Berg's co-creating with the She class. And Michael kept saying, well, many She are coming forward. They're going to work with humans. Many She are coming forward. So that's great, Michael. That's really great. And so through the summer, he left for a little while. And I was really sad because I've heard of people, She having to leave and then they don't come back, or they don't come back for a long time. And then, but he would send me telepathy and he'd send me little love bubbles. He says, I'm just here. I'm just, you know, working with the She. He was helping bring to birth the She Alliance, which is also, people want to contact me, is sheconnection@gmail.com if they want to contact me. And so the She all came starting September 28, 2021, and 101 She came within a month. And we didn't know what to do with them, so we created this website that we made these portal pages, which we didn't even know were portal pages at the time, and now we energize them. I do them. I bring all the She in and energize them with the energetic field of the She. And they come blend in with me and they go through the palms of the hands. And if you feel like you have a connection to the She and this resonates with you, please contact Michael and me. And usually when I'm reading the email, the She comes. And the way that I experience them now after working with them for a long time is their flow, Diamira. I feel them flow right through me. And so all these She came in and I meet them and they say, yes, this person is connected to me. This person is connected to me. And as soon as someone asks, they come if they have a connection. And very often, if you're called, if it resonates with you, I think there is a She around, but I can't quite make connection. And this resonates with you, then contact us. Then contact us at sheconnection@gmail.com. And then we'll just blend with the She. And I usually respond within a couple of days and say, yes, this has come. And then we, with your permission, we create this portal page that becomes a portal. And it just helps with communication. And then we do a card reading with people. We invite them into the community where we do more attunement with the She and help guide people in their connections. It's a time to make themselves more visible to humanity who are open to them, who are lovingly open to them in goodwill, I want to say. And then we create this community of human and chiefs coming together, co-creating together. And we do meditations and we do healings for Gaia, whatever she's asking us for. But then that wave came in. And then in 2022, the next wave was coming in. And Michael had told us that at first he thought two waves would come in, maybe three. But now we're on the fourth wave of she coming in. And the waves are only the time when they come in. The first wave is the first one. The second wave is the second wave, like a year apart that they're coming in. But what happens with this co-creation is the unfolding of the true being, of your true being. And what is your true being? And this is it. This is the card he wanted me to show you. And I'll explain it to you. And then and then Diamir is going to give you this reference to this card deck. And this is a sword in a stone. Looks very much like, you know, King Arthur's sword. Excalibur, wasn't it? King Arthur's sword. And then there's the a lion in front, looking very present, strong, resilient. He's very watchful. But there's a sword in the stone. And Mariel describes, and Michael reinforces, the stone is you, living in matter, spirit in matter. The sword is your individuality. The sword is the individuality, your higher self, your monad, your I am, you're being at source, whatever you want to call that. And what Mariel said, and Michael reinforces this, is the Gaian kings and queens push the sword in of the individuality to come into sacred service with the all. Sacred service with the she and with all. And it awakens you when you push in the sword of your individuality and you decide, I'm going to come in and serve the divine will. Serve, be of service to Gaia and be of service to the star beings, and you become a Gaian king or queen. And what is then a king or queen? It is one who is operating from source of being, and the true intentions of their heart begin to pour through and into the world. And what happens when this happens? This is this opening of the door to the heart space in the stillness. And it's a surrendering of all we think we are, all we think we know, and it has to be all surrendered. It's never lost. It has to go all into the silence, just like a caterpillar that liquefies to become a beautiful butterfly. It has to completely metamorphose into something else. So you go into this inner silence, and the heart door opens. One of the star beings kind of showed me, it's almost like, you know, when you see a little seed, and it's kind of all furled up, and as it's starting to push its head up, you know, out of the earth, and then it opens up and then it blossoms and then it's got this beautiful blossom. This is what happens with your heart. It unfurls, it kind of unfolds the etheric heart space and it opens up into the universe within.
The heart.
The universe within. The etheric heart. And it's not the same as the physical heart. It is the infinite space, the mirror that is within each one of us. These are what the great initiates. And it's like, what does that mean?
Right. When you drop into that sacred space, what some even refer to as the tiny space in the heart, you literally are at the center of all of creation. And from that place, that is the stars within, right? Each of us, the stars within, literally.
Yes.
It's not a metaphor. That's what it's difficult to really impart that until you have that embodied experience, but it is truly the stars live within each of us.
Yes.
And dropping into that. And
yes,
the fact that you're mentioning the heart, I feel the heart it's been the foundation of my work because I feel that it is the foundation of any connection with spirit and with the other world. And
yes,
I feel I started my spiritual journey at a time before social media. So we had the internet, but it was not like it is today. And something that I have found working with people, working with clients, especially people who are, you know, a little bit even younger than me or around my age is the dopamine and the way that the brains have changed due to social media and being constantly engaged. It's taking people a lot more effort to actually break free of that beta brain and to actually drop into the heart. And this is something that I didn't have this at the beginning of my journey. Oh, sure, we had to practice meditation and calm the heart and learn how to drop in. But once you had the tools, then you just had to sit and create the space. Now there's an added obstacle that seems to be in the way for a lot of people that have any kind of relationship with technology, because it almost feels like you have this other thing, this barrier in between. And so I just want to acknowledge that for people, that the heart is the key to all of this. And I feel like the heart tends to also, it somehow sets up this beautiful mechanism of helping all the conversations that sometimes we tend to have in the spiritual space around needing to create protection from maybe unwanted energies and maybe having to be extremely discerning. All of that becomes a moot point when you access the heart, because it creates such a strong energy field that nothing that is not resonant with the frequency of the heart is going to come into your field. So we don't have to proceed in fear. And the heart in and of itself has this beautiful discernment, I feel like, quality to it, that it just knows. It knows. And so I want to acknowledge that for people, because the heart is the key to all of this. Literally, if you spent your life doing nothing else other than learning to awaken heart consciousness, you would truly be a great blessing to yourself and Gaia and your own soul's journey. And yet, right? And yet it's almost like all this other stuff is somewhat moot if we don't talk about this foundational piece, which is the heart, because it's the both and of, like, people say, oh, I'm making it up. If you're in your heart, it's real and it's happening. If you're so up here because you've just spent 3 hours on social media and you're in the cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, and then you decide you have some, you know, idea or spiritual message, no, you're probably making it up. You're proud. And I hate to say that, but if you're in that chatter brain, that's not the still small voice within. If you drop into the heart, now what comes in, it's truth. It is absolutely truth, but we have to drop into there. So I just wanted to presence that.
I love it. I totally love it. Boy, we could have huge conversations about this, Samira. I mean, this is the evolution of humanity. What we're talking about here is opening the heart space. And he always talked about opening the etheric heart space. And he calls it heart thinking, dear Mayor. This is what's emerging. And so this comes to wanting to speak to you about New Avalon. What is New Avalon to us? I mean, we have it on our website, and she speak of this, and it's interesting because Michael had me read The Mists of Avalon, there's an old book, and it's by Marion Zimmer Bradley. I'm reading this book. You really want me to read this? He says, yes, but I want you to look for these spiritual indicators in it as you're reading it about why the mists cover Avalon. Why is it going away? And through the book, it became clear that the inspirations that they were getting were distorted by ego, and how they would operate with inspiration was tainted. Just like you're saying that you can have things misguided if it's coming from an ego-based place and you think, well, you have to make this happen. Well, they don't make the things happen. Sometimes it's just not going to work. We have to walk away from this. This is not the time for this now, you know? But the doors had to close because we were going so far into separation and our own egohood, which is really around the astral body with all of its own desires and pleasures and pains that would taint what they received. And Mariel even addressed this, that if they are trying to overlight someone who is operating from the ego and they're feeling that they're very grandiose because the Shi have come to them and this makes them some universal being of cosmic proportions rather than a humble servant, you know, then they have to leave. the Amira, they have to leave because they're not ready to surrender the ego to serve in sacred service. And so this means that at that time, we had to go through this egohood, and the mist had to cover the white magic. It had to cover the white magic at that time. And now those who are being called, coming back into sacred service, they're coming to meet us. Those who really, in their heart of hearts, want to serve and bring assistance to Gaia from the stars, help the Shi and other realms to bring these in. So what is New Avalon, they say? New Avalon starts just as we were just speaking, person to person, one person at a time, opening the heart space and bringing in the true intentions of their individuality, and then coming back into connection with Gaian realms and celestial realms. And the Shi really do help us, the global Shi really do help us with this. And you begin to create a sacred space within yourself. And then just with your own home, and then we create a portal in the home, and then we create a portal, and then the celestial realm comes in and creates like a tent. It's like there's this tent of protection. So when you're speaking, I totally want to reinforce about what you're saying about once the heart space is open and we're all operating, especially when we're blending in pure love, Michael says, this is the future of the world. When you're operating from pure love, you are safe. And the celestials are all protecting us and guiding us in this whole collaboration. It's in community with all of the fairy beings and the devas. But we first create that space within and within our own home and overlight it. And there is the beginnings of New Avalon. And when I read what you wrote, and well, I just know that this is happening within my space and my home, and I'm just thinking, and they've told me the same thing is happening with us. The same thing is happening. And it is just the beginnings. It's just the beginnings. And each of us are beginning to do this. And it's opening these doors of sacred service once again in communion.
I am so glad that you dived into this topic of New Avalon, because this is the thing that I've been chomping at the bit to talk to you about. I shouldn't even be surprised how much awe and wonder I'm in just hearing the synchronicities, the similarities, and the parallels of when you're describing your experience both with New Avalon and then how you have been working with this energy, with this energetic. And so I'm going to share now about my story with yes. this, and we're going to see Please. How it dovetails. Yes. I'm going to actually walk it back to your mentioning of the waves. So here's how this is very interesting and dovetails into my work. In 2020, I received information that a couple of major shifts were taking place. And one of those shifts, because of the nature of these shifts, I was guided to actually close down everything that I was working on, specifically the iteration of my mystery school and everything in connection with relationship building with the Shi and the fairy realms. So that was what my work had been for 15 years. And they said, this has come to a completion at this iteration. It's complete. And so I mean, this was huge. I mourned it. There was a memorial. It was this beautiful and very deep grieving process that I went through. But it was in connection to Avalon. So when I was in my early 20s, my spiritual journey, what catalyzed it was my initiation that happened in physical Glastonbury. I was drawn there, never heard of it before. I found myself there and I had this deep initiation into fairy and began my journey of remembrance. That was 2 decades ago. And from there, everything just took off. And Avalon, in connection with Glastonbury, but also the dream of Avalon, the energetic and the stories, was a very, very deep part of my soul and became a really important facet of the teachings that I shared. However, in 2020, I received the information that the old Avalonian, that's what they called it, the Avalonian dream was complete. And it needed to go through a purification period. And that was because over time, all these layers of distortion had really come one on top of the other to where now the pure essence that was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful intention and vision had been distorted and covered up, that you couldn't even see it. And so it was time that many stories and many beings who were playing the roles in those stories had completed and fulfilled their purpose. And this dream needed to come to completion in its current state. And so I did many things on the inner planes for an entire year supporting this completion. What I didn't know was that in February of 2021, one of my contacts, one of my she contacts, a very, very familiar, dear familial being that is close to my heart, said, "We're leaving." And he did not mean that they were leaving me, because that happens, right? When they leave and you shift. He meant that they were leaving this planetary dream, that they had completed their experience, and it had to do with being connected to the old story of Avalon. It had to do with many things, but it wasn't just him. There was a huge mass exodus of ancient fairy elders that were completing in this experience. So I held, again, through tears, a month of tears and sadness and grieving, then I was able to stand forth and hold a fairy vigil that allowed these souls to truly be honored for the work that they had literally served for thousands and thousands of years. That was February 2021. This mass exodus of fairy beings left the planet. Oh, there were many that still stayed, but this was a huge group that were like, "We're complete with the planetary dream." I can't even conceive of it, but this is what they conveyed to me, and they were complete. And so that happened. So that you're saying this influx and wave came in later, right? Didn't you say later in 2021?
Yes.
So
they came forward. Yeah, they came forward in April. So you're saying early 2021, but then these others came in early April saying, we're going to work more consciously with human beings. We're going to work more consciously. And then they all flowed in September of 2021.
And to me, I'm like, oh, how beautiful and incredible to see this beautiful life, death, birth, death cycle of like creating space through those who are complete and leaving, and then allowing the space for those who are now anchoring a little bit more deeply into being in connected partnership with humanity. So that's like the first piece that I want to share, that I'm like, oh my goodness.
Wow. It's amazing. Right down to your birthday, Michael, you chose Dia Maria's birthday because you knew we were going to meet. And he goes, yes. Yes. Yeah. Wow, Dia Maria. This is amazing.
This is amazing. So what happened with New Avalon, and there was some overlap for me, is because I've lazily described that New Avalon, in from my perspective, had this completion phase back in what I experienced as 2020. However, a couple years prior to that, one of my contacts, in fact, the one that came to me and said, "We're leaving," I was on one of my annual pilgrimages to the physical lands of Glastonbury, and I got the very specific request that I would light the fires of Avalon in my land, where I lived now. And so they honored me with this beautiful flame and dispensation where I could light the flames. And it was this beautiful co-creative effort working in tandem and partnership with the energies and beings here, of course, making sure I was in alignment with their desires and the vision for the land here. And then there were many beings that came in co-creative partnership to anchor this dream. This little seed was planted and a little flame, a little torch was lit in the land. What I had no idea about was that over the next few years, what started to happen is this seed garden began to spring forth on the inner planes. I'm not a gardener. On the inner planes, this garden began to spring forth in connection with this ancient star forest that is part of the forest that's here as well, but there's an etheric forest that overlays it, and they have interlapping places. And within this space, a beautiful energetic began to blossom. The way that you were describing the heart blossoming, this began to blossom in the land. Something that was both the land and this new Avalon experience, but something that came with the energies together and blossomed forth from it. And as a result, this beautiful golden and silver star temple basically arose and was erected here on this land, anchoring in this star temple garden. And from that point forward, beings from near and far began to come here. There was already a Shi community, but now Shi from other places, Sasquatch, dryads, dragons, beings that I hadn't even worked with very much, began to come because there was great interest in this relational exploration that was taking place. And so this was truly an experiment in relations, not just between Shi and humanity, but also between all of Gaian, like the sacred ecology and the Gaian folk, all the Gaian folk, with us included, humans included. And so that's what's happening here at my home. And it's just taken off from there. And so now everything that I do, all my programs are anchored within this new Avalon template. And so the new Avalon, as I understand it, is it's not just here. That was very clear to me that there was going to be star gardens and places all over Gaia that were going to spring up in their own expression that was in relationship with the land where they were, not a duplicate of what I've got going on here. And they were going to spring up Right. And allow this flowing energy that was New Avalon, which was this new energetic dream, to come forward. And that I was just one of the many examples and templates that was unfolding here. And so that's been this magic. And what's so cool is the way that you describe the portal that you've created on the internet. That's essentially what I've created here at my home. And so when people come here, not guests, like guests, most people come to have a dinner at my dinner party. They have no idea what's going on back there unless they're sensitive and they're on the tip. But guests that do come specifically for this, they come and it's like a portal where they meet in pure love. So it's not just any beings coming in. No, it's beings that deeply want to connect at the heart frequency of love.
Yes.
Coming here, and people have gone away having Shi contacts, having Shi beloveds, having beloveds from the other world. And now they've formed this beautiful connection because this portal space allowed for that connection to happen. So I'm like literally hearing a mirror of another way it's being done, but similar and yet so unique and you and perfect. And I just, this is why I'm jumping out of my seat.
Oh my gosh, Demira. I mean, just as you're saying this, because yes, Michael and I are connectors, Demira. All these beings are coming to help us. But as we talked about, it is so important to first connect to yourself and your own heart space in order to then be able to work in pure love, Demira, to work in pure love, to serve in pure love. And that is our mission, is to help others do that. And Shi Human coming together is such a beautiful way to do it, because the Shi that we work with live in pure love and they are pure love. If you feel a connection to the Shi, they just warm your heart with their pure love. But then I just wanted to just comment too, that as we're, you know, we're helping people to, Shi are helping people to connect to our own individuality, to their Gaian allies, to their starry allies. You know, we have guides, wonderful guides, Arcturus, you know, Zidian and Sirius, and, you know, that help us all the time. But then they're streaming down within our land of New Avalon to help us help people. You know, this is what's happening in with our service. But then we get to talk to individualities who are, I am going to create this whole new area of that is going to be the new dawn in my, you know, in my land. And then there's going to be the community of all of the beings working together, and then the Shi partners coming in, and we're going to just pour pure love all through and work in harmony with one another and honor and cooperate together with all realms, with the land Shi, with the fairy realms, with the devas, with the great ants of the old trees. We're going to all work cooperatively in love. And so then we help other people launch on their own mission. And wow, it's so fun to talk to you. My heart is so full. It's like, I finally met her, Michael. That's what I feel. I finally got to meet you. I had to wait till I'm 67 tomorrow. My birthday.
Oh my, your birthday is tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, happy birthday. What a blessing to
I have to wait till I'm 67 to meet her, Michael. Come on.
What a blessing to be probably one of the first people to wish you a happy birthday. Yes.
Thank you.
How special.
Thank you. Wow. My heart is so full, and so is Michael's. He is just right here, just filling me, you know, with his love for you and, you know, for this whole opportunity for us to really start to unfold these possibilities of New Avalon. The New Avalon of each person's true intentions of their individuality to come in and work cooperatively with others who, there are four of us who have come together now who are learning to be with our expanded hearts in one heart because the she are in oneness, dear mirror. And we call ourselves the one heart with our she partners. And then we all blend together and then we receive our guide, we receive guidance. There's just so much emerging and the possibilities, as you're saying with the energies now, the she's just saying, please receive these are coming in now. You know, it's a completely different world that is unfolding with all of the multidimensional energies coming through and they're continually pointing this out. But even when Michael came 3 years ago, it's a different world. But here's the card. This is the synchronicity for you today, is the card in the She card deck, the beautiful card deck, was this one. And it is card with a hill and a stone circle on the top, which is Cavendish, and a swan in the foreground, the swan boat that you take over. It's called the promise. Do you know what it's the promise of, Damir? You have a lot. And that was the card that was the theme. The first card I drew this morning was for our talk. And he said, New Avalon is emerging. New Avalon is emerging. Because the Chi are the guardians of the stone circles. They're the guardians. The shining ones are the guardians of the great stone circles, which are the great vortices of the world. And I love this card.
You have no idea the incredible synchronicities that are encoded in this card for me, specifically connected to both Kalanesh and also Swan. Huge,
you know,
huge,
Kalanesh.
Huge. What? What
you
is
know
it?
Kalanesh.
I know Kalanesh.
Kalanesh.
I know Kalanesh.
I know Kalanesh with all my heart.
Me too.
It's my heart. Dimir. Oh my gosh. It's my heart. Kalanesh is my heart. I know every shining one there. Oh my gosh. This is so amazing.
I have visited over 80 or 90 sacred sites the world over. When I visited Kalanesh, and it was by no means a first, second, it was way, way, way late on my journey, only a few years ago. It was one of the only places that from the time I stepped into the circle, I was a pool of tears, an absolute pool of tears, because I was home. It was beyond words. It was pre-verbal. It went straight to the heart, the depth of my heart and the depth of my soul.
Me too. Me too. And you know what? When we arrived, Michael said, we're home now. You're home now.
Oh.
You're home. We went in 2000. We went September 24th, 2022 at Michaelmas. We always go at the celebration of the Archangel Michael. The big things happened. That's when the she came in on the, because the esoteric day is, Michaelmas has always been known as September 29th, but the esoteric day runs from 6 o'clock the night before to 6 o'clock the day up, she started coming in the night of the 28th, and we were opening portals in Kalanish at that same time the next year.
Oh my gosh.
My sister, Diamira, what do you know?
Oh my goodness. Oh, Sid, this has been so expansive, so heart expansive, so magical in more ways than I even have words for.
Boy, the she are working their magic today.
They are. So as we come to these last few minutes of our time together, in, I know that we will have time together in the future. I'm seeing reverberations of connections between us. And is there anything, though, for today that you and Michael want to share in closing?
Michael, we are here now, he says. We're not going anywhere. We want to help you if you choose it. You will always know a benevolent being if they leave you free and if they are of love. But we are here to be by your sides when you're becoming and helping you reconnect to who you are and your mission for this life. He's just opening the door. He's opening a door saying, come on in to your own being. And they're beings of pure love. And pure love heals everything.
Yes.
He's saying pure love heals everything. So come through the door if you want to, if you're ready. And if you feel a connection to us, contact us. If you feel a connection and you feel like there is a she around you, you can answer the call. And they just extend the invitation to come home. Back into connection is home in oneness. You still have your individuality and your sovereignty and your mission. But you also then are in communing and all the blessings that come from being a community with all realms.
Yes.
My sister, Mira.
Thank you so, so much, Sid. Thank you so much. Will you please once again share with everybody your website and also the manifold ways that you may be connected with?
Yes, well, I'm going to tell you that we are building a new website, sheconnection.com. It's easy, sheconnection.com and sheconnection@gmail.com. And we're expanding with the guidance of the she. It's something that the she are really strongly guiding us into for this open-heartedness and then bringing these initiatives into the world to help humanity, to help people awaken, which I know you're doing too, my sister.
Dear sister, sister of the etheric heart.
Yes, exactly. Oh
thank
gosh.
You so Just, much.
Love to you. Michael and I send our love to everyone. Love of the she, the love of she human co-creators all together. We send our love. And everybody can do this right through your hands. Our hands are receptors and disseminators of love. The she tell me, and it is true. Love to everyone.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for being you.
Thank you so much for gathering with me in this space. I am clearly on a mission to re-enchant the world through these mythic story weavings and sharing of these expansive and thought-provoking topics. So let me ask you,
Have you ever felt the swirling of remembrance in your heart, as if the mystery of life is whispering to you? If so, you might relish my book, Initiation, My Fairy Soul Awakening. It's an epic memoir that will take you on a mystical journey of remembrance from the mountains and jungles of Peru to the sacred hills and wells of Avalon to a mysterious island in northernmost Scotland. This book is an odyssey encoded with living myth, magic, and mystery. It's a tale of healing, synthesis, and becoming. But it's not just my story. It's a story that resonates with the human condition, our struggles, our triumphs, and for those of us who feel an inexplicable but very palpable connection to fairy. I invite you to immerse yourself in this transformative adventure to explore the depths of your own soul as you journey alongside me. So, my dear listeners, I encourage you to visit my website at diamirarose.com to find out more about the book, or hop over to wherever you purchase your books and get your copy today. Thank you so much for being a part of the Elemental Whispers community. Stay tuned for more enchanting stories and encoded transmissions. Until next time, may your path be filled with blessings and the wisdom of this world.